it is really unbelievable to watch this play out in real time, where the SEC and the ACC are behaving exactly as they must politically according to region. This is happening in America, where Georgia's high schools are filled with hallways filled with kids who are testing positive, and now the ACC and the SEC are behaving differently than the Big Ten, the presidents who have just canceled the football season. It's going to be interesting to watch regardless. Before we get to more conversation about what's going on with college football, it is time for Stu Gatz's Weekend Observations.
It is time for Stu Gatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend Observations, brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan... Will Smith off the deep end, Shaq attack, and the rumble on the reef. Mike Tyson versus Jaws. Dan, your favorite week of the year. Shark Week is back.
You see Tyson shirtless on that boat. He looks unbelievable.
Old.
Not for a 50, that body for a 50 something year old, what he's put that body through.
Listen, it looks great for a 57 year old, but when you're about to fight Jaws, I mean, I don't know. You would agree, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that he's going to fight Jaws. He's fighting a fear of sharks.
False advertising. Eric Musselman landed his fifth top 100 recruit at Arkansas, and that can only mean one thing. Trouble. Also, when did Eric Musselman become the head coach at the University of Arkansas? And when did Nolan Richardson leave? Dan, for weeks leading up to the PGA, I've been telling Mike Ryan to place a bet on Jordan Spieth to win the championship. Now, Jordan did make the cut, but he finished plus +4 and in a four-way tie for 71st.
What happened?
Sorry, Mike. Spieth has fallen off the wagon, Dan.
What happened there? Like, I don't understand.
Listen, he's won every championship, all the majors, with the exception of the PGA championship. He won three of the four, and then he got married. I mean...
Oh, wow. You think that... Are you making a link between those things?
I was just pointing out that he got married. That's all. Arkansas. Vacated national championship. Collision course. Greg Popovich compared Nikola Jokic to Larry Bird. Rick Carlisle compared Luka Doncic to Larry Bird. Those are two very different kinds of players being compared to the same player. I wonder what's going on there.
What do you think?
The Joker. The Beluga Whale.
Yes.
The Birdman.
Yes.
Ben Simmons is having surgery to correct a glitch that doesn't allow him to practice shooting the three-point shot during the offseason. What happened there?
You're mean.
Why can't Luka remind people of Magic? Huh?
Because he's pink.
I'm genuinely worried about parts of our country if there's no SEC football. The good news, I've been worried about those same parts of the country for a while now.
Yeah.
Guy with the red hair in the Allstate commercial who is starstruck when he sees the Safe Driver Save 40% guy. He deserves an Academy Award. Death, taxes, and Giancarlo Stanton landing on the DL. Clayton Kershaw Saturday, Four and a third innings.
Here we go.
Seven hits, four runs, a loss. Clayton Kershaw already rounding into postseason form. Yankees and Twins each had 76 runs through 10 games. You know what both teams can do, Dan?
Mash.
Yeah, they can mash. The Twinks and the Yanks.
The Yanks.
You're on it today. The Cubs are better without Joe Maddon. I said it.
Yeah.
TJ Warren. That's my observation. That's all.
Yep.
Carlos Correa fouled the ball off his privates this weekend. Hashtag karma. It feels like sports can go away at any moment, and it terrifies me. As if Major League Baseball didn't have enough problems, the Orioles-Nationals game was suspended because of a tarp malfunction. Dan, you know what they needed that like?
A hole
like
in the
a
head.
Hole in the head, Dan. What were you going to guess?
I said it already before you did.
I didn't hear it. CBS announcer during the back nine yesterday, who said with a win here, Morikawa would start looking like Tiger Woods. CBS announcer, do me a favor. When he opens up his closet and the first thing he sees is five green jackets, get back to me. Also, what exactly did he mean by that?
Oh, there it is.
I just wonder. Throwing it out there. Food for thought, Dan. Brooks Koepka's mouth wrote checks. His game couldn't cash. Speaking of writing checks you can't cash.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Looks like Craig Carton is getting another shot.
I thought you were going to go after Captain Munderland. Got arrested in the Miami airport with bad checks.
I should have.
No, yours is better. No, I think yours was better.
Cardinals manager. COVID outbreak has led to ER visits. Two things. Who the hell is the Cardinals manager? And what the hell are we doing? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
This is unbelievable what's going on with the SEC and the ACC trying to secede from the union. It is just what's happening in America, Stugatz. I'm telling you, I just need you people in these regions. I am in one of these regions where you find SEC football and where you find ACC football. Will you people? Will you idiot freedom fighters who are sitting out here not wearing masks, will you stop doing what feels like you're advocating against the Vietnam War? Like, you are not advocating against the Vietnam War and fighting for the freedom to not wear a mask. We could all have our sports back if you just agree to wear a mask for a while.
Paid that man his money.
I'm so excited for Ole Miss Vanderbilt to post the biggest television number we've ever seen.
Dan is so right about this. Put the damn mask on. I'm in Central Florida. No one wearing a mask. I go to Maryland, a hot zone, okay? A hot zone. It's like nothing is happening up there. Everyone's walking around talking in each other's face. I'm 2 inches away. And they're talking to me and you don't have a mask on. Everyone who walked by me in Baltimore over the weekend not wearing a mask, you heard me. You heard me, because I told you as you were walking past me, put a mask on. Or I'm going to get your name and number, and I'm going to take care of business, okay? And I got a few, and I'm going to call them out on the air, okay?
More empty threats from Stugatz coming up next.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
very soon, some of the ways that that stuff is distributed, Stugatz, are going to go away. August 17th, that best of version is going to go away, but we're going to replace it with a post-game show, post-show show that should be a lot of fun. We've got some changes coming for you beginning next week that we're excited about. Did you see the McDonald's story, Stugatz, where McDonald's is suing a CEO they already fired, and they're accusing him of fraud, destroying evidence, lying, having sex with three of his subordinates? This is absolutely a changing times development. This is something you would not have seen, I don't think, as recently as 12 months ago. This would have been handled privately, and we would have never found out about it. And it wouldn't be as public as McDonald's going after its fired CEO and harming its brand with these kinds of allegations. This is super public, and it's a changing way of corporate America now in the face of what is happening with the Me Too movement and all of the things happening where this once upon a time would have been very quietly none of your business. And now all that stuff needs to be smoked out because corporations can't have CEOs defrauding people like that and engaging in sexual misconduct.
I did not see the story, but not surprised, just based on things have gone inside of sports, outside of sports. You have former players calling out former coaches. You have former Iowa players calling out things that Kirk Ferentz did years ago. You have people digging into other people's past. And that's a good thing. I mean, I'm being serious. It's a good thing that people are unafraid to call out even a CEO of a corporation like McDonald's for doing very bad things and then the appropriate actions being taken.
But this isn't the people. This is McDonald's itself suing its former CEO that it already fired. This isn't the people doing much of anything. This is McDonald's, one of the great American brands, saying we will take whatever hit comes from the publicity of being near any of this stuff by suing our former employee, our former leader, in order to show America that this is not who we are. This is a pretty substantive change in some of the power dynamics that have happened throughout this country for a long time. I am curious, Stugatz, because you mentioned earlier in the show, and I am interested in the heavyweight division this weekend when Daniel Cormier and Stipe go after each other for the third time. This is the third time. And one of the things that I saw, and I haven't asked Cormier about this, and I should have. I wish I had, because through two fights, Cormier was pretty much manhandling Stipe. In the last fight, he literally threw him over his shoulder, put him on his shoulder, and just sort of walked around the octagon with this giant guy from Cleveland on his shoulder who was a really heavy puncher. And for basically two whole fights, Cormier was going straight into the power of Stipe and having no issue with going straight into the power of Stipe. And then in the last fight, in a fight that Cormier was winning throughout, this is something that A, I didn't expect, B, I can't imagine Cormier expected, and C, I hadn't seen a whole lot of in my history watching fighting. For these two guys to go that many rounds, and then all of a sudden it seems Stipe realized, wait a minute, he's open on his right side and he's leaving himself open to me and my left hand, and he hit him in the body 11 times, Stugatz, with these giant shots to the body. Cormier was having no trouble with Stipe whatsoever over two whole fights, and he ended him because he just found an opening in Cormier's right side that I don't think Cormier was expecting in any ways, and they were just these heavy body shots. Left hand. You heard it echoing throughout, and you saw then Cormier try to protect himself there, and he left himself open for bigger things. But I hadn't seen a fight sequence turn around like that when one guy had so obviously been dominating another, and the other one just figured out three rounds into a heavyweight fight with these guys exhausted, Stugatz, nope, here's my opening. The right side of his body, I'm going to hit him a dozen damn times with my left hand, and he's going to have no answers for it. I don't think that that can possibly be so on Saturday night. I got to think that Cormier is not going to leave his right side open like that.
Right, so now we need Stipe needs to find another weakness because he knows that that weakness has already been found. So Cormier will cover that up and then try to, and Stipe will then try to find another weakness. That's crazy. It took nearly two fights for him to figure out where to attack Cormier.
And, no, but
and he got great results.
Stugatz, it was so fascinating to watch Stipe realize it. Like, just, it was fascinating. Wait a minute, I got this right here. And he just punches so damn hard. Cormier had been walking straight into everything Stipe was doing with just his hands up, afraid of nothing. Afraid of nothing. People don't fight Stipe that way. And he just kept going straight into him, just sort of pawing at him and leaving his right side open. It was the whole thing. It's the reason there's a third fight. We wouldn't have wanted to watch this a third time if Stipe hadn't figured that out.
And one of the things that also happened in that fight was Stipe suffering a major eye injury that has kept him out this long. How will he be? Will he be fully recovered off of that eye injury? Will the fights go the same way? It's going to be a big time fight, not just with the lack of sports, but people just want to see these two guys fight and have a memorable fight.
Reminiscent of the second Rocky Apollo fight when Rocky in the eighth or ninth round finally figured out how to attack Apollo Creed and then beat him. I mean, unfortunately, there was no third match.
Put it on the poll, Tony, please, at Lebatard Show. Is Stugatz capable of giving us any fighting analysis that doesn't reference Rocky? The news is coming in pretty fast, so Mike Ryan, please help me out here because I just saw it out of the corner of my eye on the screen, and I want to make sure I was reading this correctly because it seemed like there was a report that Jim Harbaugh is advocating for there to be a season, even as reports are coming out everywhere that the Big Ten simply will not have a season. There's a lot of things happening right now where you are seeing some flux in power, Stugatz. For example, you probably noticed that Mark Emmert, who makes almost $4 million a year running the NCAA, Mark Emmert, who is one of these guys who is lording over the injustice while making a whole lot of money that the players aren't making, you're not hearing from him on anything. It seems like he's got next to no power as you're watching all of these decisions being made as the president of the NCAA can't do anything, and you have a situation where the Big Ten is opting out of football. The Power Five conferences are all discussing no football in the fall. I think a lot of people out there find that the reporting of this news that college football seems to be collapsing, I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying that the media is somehow cheering for the absence of college football. And I can tell you flatly that there are a lot of jobs going to be lost right now, and I don't understand these arguments being made that people think the media is rooting for college football to not be played. But we can't agree on much of anything these days anywhere in America, so I suppose it's not surprising in any way that people will arrive at, you know, fake news, mainstream media, however it is that they can arrive there, when we'd all like to see college football, and we'd all probably agree that it seems a little dangerous to do college football. Now, even as the numbers show you that young people aren't statistically the ones dying, but when you read about children in Georgia, when you read, Stugatz, about young people now dying, all it would take is one for all of us to put our heads in our hands and be like, what the hell did we do this for? All it would take is one, basically. It's not even like, yes, we could play mathematical odds and say it is unlikely that people of college age will die. But if one of them dies, isn't it one too many in the grab for dollars?
Of course it is. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh, and he released a statement on the heels of the Big Ten canceling its season. And what Jim Harbaugh is pointing out are facts about how Michigan and their coronavirus testing has gone within the football program, pointing out things such as the Michigan football program has had 11 positive tests out of the 893 administered tests, including three upon initial return to campus and two positive tests out of the last 417 that they've done. He is advocating and saying we can handle this. there should be a season. So it's confusing, a lot of information out there.
Yeah, not too long ago, Sugats had this weekend observation. Would love to see who has to tell the SEC they can't play football. Because I don't know who it is, quite frankly. If it's not the conference themselves, they've already proven with their scheduling they can move forward. They don't need the rest of college football. We thought that the Power 5 could move on just as a Power 5. Now you have Power 5 conferences dropping out, and it seems as though, at least right now, the plan is to still push forward. I would imagine a program like Ohio State, a program like Michigan, their conference saying, hey, we're out this fall, would sort of be a wake-up call maybe to parts of the country and to those conferences. But so far, nothing on that front. And if there's just so much money on the line, not just people, not just working-class jobs. We're talking about billions. Hundreds of millions of dollars in television rights fees that might be up for grabs, and the NFL might be salivating at these college football windows. But at the same time, do they do the sport a favor and push their NFL draft a little bit further because they want to protect their free minor league? All of this is a major, major point in that sport's history.
I think, Stugatz, as people are watching pretty historic things happen in real time, during a pandemic, no matter where it is that your politics are, and we can fight over the smallest things these days, I think we can all agree, based on where the numbers are, based on America having plenty of time to have planned for this, that we have been really bad at the handling of the coronavirus. I think we can all agree on that without dispute. And I think we can all agree also that we don't actually deserve for sports to be back, given when you look at what happened in South Korea and New Zealand, and they get some of these things under control in ways that we have not been able to get it under control. But because money is America's God, and because there is so much sports money around this, one of the things that has happened here that I don't think can get enough attention as we watch college football possibly collapse in front of us is that NBA basketball threw a ton of money at their problem in a way that is a little bit ugly in terms of greed, with a $150 million bubble. And as Stugatz pointed out to you, their players going through expensive testing as the surrounding neighborhoods could use some of that testing and aren't getting it, even as the NBA tries to cover its tracks on that one some by offering some of its testing to local people who need it. I do think one of the things that's fascinating here is how quietly the NBA has been able to do this without so much as of a hiccup so far. Yeah. So far right now, you pretty implicitly trust that the NBA is going to be able to do this. We haven't had any kind of outbreak. We haven't had a single person, right? Since the bubble started, we haven't had a single person feel like a danger other than Lou Williams.
No, it feels like the safest place. In fact, you have had players lend their voice to this. I feel like I'm in safest place in the United States right now. If I leave this place, which I really shouldn't, but if I do, it's a quick test. It's a test every single day. And if I test positive, I'm quarantined, and I can't come back until I'm done with the quarantine, and then I can go play again. The NBA has nailed this, at least so far.
So far.
Nailed it.
It can change. I just can't believe that we are in a place where Walt Disney actually gets to be the happiest place on earth. How is it possible that we have arrived? It is the safest place where basketball, quietly, as everything else seems to come apart, as you see all over our country, danger around every corner, there is no place safer. If I'm the NFL, I just say, hey, can we borrow Orlando and your bubble when you guys are done with it?
Pay that man his money.
I want to live in a bubble. I mean, don't you?
It is crazy to think that so far, I suspect it can change, but I feel like they've done so well in the early stages of this, Stugatz, that we don't actually expect that to change anymore. We expect baseball teams right and left to fall down and collapse because of this virus.
I think the Cardinals have played like 4 games.
It is. It's so bad with the Cardinals, Stugatz. And now you saw what the Indians did, right? Plesac's kid? They just sent him home. They sent him home. They said, get out of here because we can't allow you to be this kind of reckless. So they just evidently Cleveland is being more aggressive. The Cleveland baseball team is being more aggressive about this than anybody else. We will update the polls in just a moment, but if you want some extra Stugatz in your life, I don't want to promise you too much, but Pacers Heat tonight. Stugatz is going to be a VIP virtual fan. We have some other Lebatard and Friends Easter eggs during the Heat Pacers broadcast that you will find among the virtual fandom. I don't want to promise you too much. I don't know how much time he's going to spend on air, but Stugatz is allegedly going to be a part of the Pacers Heat broadcast tonight as a virtual fan. Time now for some clunky and awkward imaging that is going to sponsor the polls.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
At Lebatard Show, Stugatz, let's update people on the polls.
Nothing clunky about that. If someone says that your daughter or son is ugly, will you ever speak to them again? 78% of the audience said nope. Who is the smiling face of NBA starter mediocrity? Your choices were Patrick Beverley, Marcus Morris, and Markieff Morris.
Roy, that was an incredibly mediocre smile you just put together as the smiling face of mediocrity. Yes.
Who do you think won this, Dan? This is an interesting one.
Well, I think the Morrises probably split the vote and then gave it to Patrick Beverley.
That is great analysis. You are right. Patrick Beverley, 46.5% of the audience voted there, but if you consider Marcus and Markieff Morris to be the same person, then they won going away.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that
not really, given that Patrick Beverley got almost half the vote.
That's a good point. But still, good analysis by you. Which is colder, Dame and PG family drama, or the Braves playing Beat It?
That was unbelievable. I can't believe that the organist for the Braves taunted a pleasuring himself Blue Jay with Michael Jackson's song.
73% of the audience said the Braves playing Beat It. Can you be any less foreign than Delaware?
That was good. Dante for the Bucks. I thought he was a foreign player. He's from Delaware.
69% of the audience said no.
Nice.
All right. What is least foreign to America? Delaware, the Dakotas, or Idaho? Dan, 44% of the audience chose Delaware.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah. Yes. Now, the Dakotas, probably same thing happened to the Morris twins. Dakotas split a lot of votes.
The Dakotas probably split the vote.
Do you dip your French fries in barbecue sauce? I do. Sweet Baby Ray's, to be specific. 52% of the audience said no. Huh. Have you ever eaten at or heard of a barbecue Chinese food joint? 68% of the audience said, nope, I have. Is that the worst eulogy you have ever heard?
Francesa. It was so bad.
So Mike, though.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. 90% of the audience said, yes, the worst. Those two things don't. Jive or jibe? This is a big one for us, Dan.
Jive, you said jive. I'm telling you, jibe is accurate with a B, not a V, but the audience is dumb.
87% of the audience disagrees with you and agrees with me, and they said it's jive. How about that?
But that's not right. I mean, Merriam-Webster says it's not right.
Who's that? I mean, is Stugatz capable of giving us any fighting analysis that doesn't reference Rocky? 97.1% of the audience said, no, he is not. Sorry. It's the greatest fight ever.
There are people wandering around right now shocked that they've been using jive and jibe wrong all their life. It is a B, not a V.
So, welcome to the postgame show. And the highlight of the show for me personally was Dan making Dante DiVincenzo a foreigner. But second place, and not a distant second place, is Dan going really deep into the weeds over the Miocic-Cormier fight and how somebody's right side was open and all sorts of vulnerable to attack, and then asking Sugats if he would concur with that analysis.
It's a weird thing where it becomes like a fight expert. Anytime there's, you know, boxing or UFC stuff, all of a sudden he becomes like Burt Sugar. It's weird.
That is totally fair criticism. But between us, Stugatz, because I suddenly become Burt Sugar and because you're incapable of discussing anything other than Rocky when it comes to fighting, between the two of us, we arrive at a happy medium for boxing and fighting analysis. Because, Stugatz, you could not have brought less to that discussion or, in general, much of what we were doing today. Because every time I asked you about anything today, your answer was, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That or you would just get up from the Zoom and exit without a word as to what was happening, which makes actually producing the show really difficult.
Listen, there's nothing I can do when you guys are on air. Technical issues are happening at my house. I'm not supposed to blurt them out on air, and I was trying to reach Bristol, and no one was answering me there.
Stugatz, let me explain something to you.
Let me make great top 10 golf shots of all time.
Let me explain something to you, okay? Because the people who listen to this show have no earthly idea how actively you play defense against everything that we are doing. The degree of difficulty on doing today's show as you kept getting up and leaving when it was your time to talk, and the idea that we have to camouflage that and disguise that as an extra added bonus here, as you have clearly watched nothing but golf this weekend.
You could have just switched to the Zoom. I feel like there was a solution there, but you sat out inexplicably an entire segment that we could see you and hear you if you just unmuted yourself and communicate some of the things that were going on. But instead, you left the room entirely without it. You were on the phone. I assumed you were trying to call me to loop me into it, but no. Went several minutes after that trying to figure out what was going on.
Actually, I was ordering lunch. I mean, I wasn't sweating it at all. Honestly, I mean, it's not my problem. I mean, it's not my job to fix all the technical issues around here. I do enough. I had a top 10 golf list. I had weekend observations.
I do enough.
I'm working all weekend. I'm watching golf get ready for the show. I mean,
and you do enough, which speaks to one of the problems, but I'm going to focus on one of the other things that you said. When you're on remote, because you decided to go to a hot state in Maryland and quarantine yourself for 14 days, there is nobody else to fix the technical issues. It is solely your responsibility. I can help walk you through it, but you're the person that's going to have to fix this going forward.
I was respecting the fact that you guys were on air for anyone. And so I figured, you know, I can't get on. You guys are doing the show. I might as well order a pizza. I mean,
Stugatz, did you hear Jim Nantz say poop during your all the golf that you consumed? He said poop. It was great.
I did. There was some bird poop around somebody's ball.
You could feel
birds. You want to hear Jim Nantz say poop is one of them.
You could feel like he was having the struggle in his mind of I shouldn't say this word, but I have to. It was so great hearing him say poop.
Stugatz, you need to help me with something here, okay? Because I've never wanted to become the show that spends a lot of time talking golf. I hated that sports radio show when I was growing up. But Colin Cowherd absolutely identifies with the demo that wants that show when he tweets out, if you're offended by golfers dropping F-bombs on a hot mic on TV, we can't be friends. Non-negotiable. If I ran a network, there's a P in network for some reason, also because he's old, I would demand 6 per round, totally authentic, how guys talk on a course, and then the emoji of someone in the middle of a backswing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sports show that Stugatz wants in his future. Colin Cowherd, did he just articulate, was he a voice for you, Stugatz, on everything you believe about golf?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I do find in the absence of there being fans, I do find the fact that you can hear these players and the interactions they're having with each other, with themselves, because you will talk to yourself on a golf course, and with a caddy and with their caddies is pretty fascinating. And I love, yeah, that humanizes them. Hit a bad shot and you drop an F-bomb. I mean, who doesn't do that on an actual golf course? They've been doing it forever. You just can't hear it because there are actually fans at these events. So.
And speaking of backswings, that Matthew Wolf, boy, is that thing weird looking, but also kind of beautiful. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm regularly stunned at how young these golfers are now. They're starting to put up their age. I thought for sure Bryson DeChambeau was a father of two who's inching towards 40 just because that's how he's built. But the dude is 27.
Yeah, he's built like a he looks like a Lego guy, like the Lego man.
I think he said last week that he wants to live to 120. And I'm just looking at that body and I don't think it's in the cards for him, mate.
No, but we're DeChambeaus, me and you, me and Mike. We both have caps. Like, we thought yesterday was going to be our day. I thought DeChambeau was going to win it. It was such a great PGA championship. And, Dan, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm torn as to how to do this without fans. Because having fans there and hitting that shot that Morikawa hit, oh, yeah, DeChambeaus, man. Mike just showed a picture of the hat that Mike and I have, the Puma hat.
Yeah, my daughter's name is Juliet. It's all right.
Stugatz, what just happened there? Hold on. Hold on a second, because we have to examine this. Hold on. Stop with the lies. Wow. Hold on. Here comes Stugatz. Stugatz, shut up for a minute. Wow. Shut up, because here come his web of lies to cover up what just happened. I need to explain to the audience what just happened. Mike Ryan held up to the Zoom chat a photograph of his baby daughter, Julieta, wearing a DeChambeau cap. A DeChambeau, what is that called?
That is a Sunday driver.
Okay.
And that is a Sunday driver by Puma. I went out and found these because I locked in. I've always wanted to have a golfer, right? I was like, oh, Ricky Fowler, he's got the attitude. That might be my guy. But then he started stinking. Also because he got married. Maybe there's something to that. Mm-hmm, but I found my dude.
All right.
Bryson DeChambeau.
But hold on. Don't get too far away from what just happened on the Zoom chat, which is, here he goes. Like, you can hear him mumbling because he's just trying to throw camouflage lies all over the place here. Mike held up to the Zoom chat a photo of his daughter wearing the DeChambeau hat. And Stugatz then, you guys all agree that Stugatz didn't know what his daughter's name was, and so...
Because you guys all agree that the person I'm holding up in my phone has to be my daughter, right? We were all in agreement that it was clear
there's
that it was my daughter.
There's only one baby that could be shown there. He's not showing anyone else's baby, especially conversationally, because we were talking about how you guys were DeChambeaus.
Now, you guys would also agree that you might not be dealing with the glare that I am currently dealing with because of the angle of the sunlight, my windows being open. It looked like a hat just sitting on a table, but now I see the gorgeous and beautiful Samantha.
I think what was clearly happening was you were searching for Juliet's name, and you're happy that I just gave it to you because Julieta wasn't helping you at all.
But that with an H,
beautiful baby.
Hold on. Let's pull back the curtain. I don't know. I haven't asked you guys, so I don't actually know. But can you guys each, if I went around the room right now, could you give the audience an example they didn't see of Stugatz playing defense against the show and making my job actively today, degree of difficulty harder? Because it's been a minute since I had one like today where I had to camouflage the number of different things that I had to camouflage for Stugatz. One of which, by the way, was me just speeding through that McDonald's story because he had no idea what the hell I was talking about.
Yeah, but also I think we all kind of knew that he didn't have anything for you there. So sometimes it's on you to know your teammate a little bit better. But since this is a post-game show and we can go around the horn, breaking down like where Stugatz was good in today's show, that top 10 golf list up against a hard network out, that was very tricky to do. And he did it well, and comedically, it hit all the right notes, Stugatz.
Thank you. I appreciate a compliment. Thank you. All of the criticism, by the way, coming from a man who had Dante DiVincenzo growing up somewhere in Yugoslavia. I mean...
Let's go around the room here. What do we have here? What do we have? Roy, what is your favorite Stugatz actively playing defense against everything I'm trying to do with a sports show here today?
not having his billboards. Of course, that was my fault because my email was down. But not having his billboards handily for you.
Chris, how about you? Segment. What would you vote for today?
You teasing weekend observations for the noon segment, and then right when we went to break, Stugatz trying to get them put at 12:15.
How about you? Yes, I saw that one happen in real time while I was talking. As all these things happen, Tony, how did Stugatz play defense against me being able to competently do the show today?
He could have very easily, when the line dropped on his Comrex, just gone, oh, okay, let me just unmute myself on Zoom and do the segment. If not, he just stood there kind of like a mime. And then at the end of the segment, when he realized if he just unmuted himself, he could talk, he kind of gave like a, yeah.
No, he wasn't. No. Yeah, it was beautiful. That right there was him. He was talking to somebody, not knowing he was on air. And that's the only contribution to that particular segment. Mike, do you have a nominee?
Yeah, I'm going to go against the grain again and pick out a place that he was a good teammate. Him breaking the news to me that, hey, all my travels to the hot state of Maryland are done, and so begins my 14-day quarantine. Keep in mind, next week's kind of a big day for us and the rest of ESPN Radio. It would have been awesome to have Stugatz in studio, but we're not. Thank God I was out when that whole discussion went down. I'm just here met with a Stugatz who's smiling, saying, hey, 14 days, I'm back to being your baby.
Seems like I did my job and did it very, very well today. I mean,
Stugatz, do you have a nominee for how you f***ed me today?
I don't.